You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years of ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone is the General Director of Bearing Precious Seed Canada and Pastor Emeritus of the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hopes of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
Welcome to Tim Talks. That sounds a little different, doesn't it?
That looked like a festive Tim Hortons cup.
It's roll up the rim, baby.
Oh,
it's
roll up the rim.
Yeah, that you don't roll up anymore.
Oh, no.
What a ripoff. It's all digital now. Digital. Yeah. And then you go to the digital site, and you can take your finger and swipe up on the lip of the cup to see if there's any prize. Or it'll say, help roll up for me. And you can push a button, and they do it.
Get out of here.
Uh-uh. It's true. Yeah, it's sad.
Wow.
It's sad. Burger King, I hate you. You've messed up a lifelong tradition of rolling up the rim to find that prize. But I think COVID kind of killed that because they didn't want to touch people's germy cups. So now we got to do it digitally.
Wow.
Wow. That's crazy. And I'm not winning near as much. There was a guy in St. Thomas at the Tim Hortons by BPS where I used to get my coffee every day, won a brand new car.
Wow.
But all I want is a donut. I'd be more happy to get the donut. Who needs a car? I need a donut. I'm thinking of an apple fritter right now. I had a good one yesterday. Oh, man. Delicious.
Now, hey, in your current location, they do have Tim Hortons, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm in Buffalo, New York. I'm in Buffalo. In fact, I'm at two locations here, two different spots, and both have a Tim Hortons within 5 minutes.
Awesome.
Oh, it's a dream.
I figured they would. I mean, it's right on the border, so.
Yeah, Buffalo's got a lot of them. Buffalo's got a lot. Yeah, and I'm noticing a lot more Canadians over here since our prime minister jacked our prices up 23% yesterday.
Oh, my goodness.
23% on gas.
Yes.
Of course, groceries are going to go up. And
yeah, to help pay for your carbon footprint.
Yeah, because it's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. Yeah.
Your country, you have such a small, tiny speck of a nation that has no forestation to help the environment.
No, the trees aren't sucking that up at all. Second largest landmass in the world.
Well, do you know what your population per acre is or anything?
Oh, man, there's 40 million people for, I know we're 6,000 miles across. We've got to be at least that north, too. I mean, that's,
oh yeah,
it's a lot.
Yeah, it's got to be so spread out, even though Toronto is a very large city. But still,
yeah,
you know, even taking that into context, goodness, you know, you got so much land per person there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But hopefully,
yeah, it's unbelievable.
We may start bringing the illegals up and dropping them off at your border.
Oh, we already got them. We already got them. Don't worry.
I know that, but I think we may be giving you more.
Well, our plan
gift
is this
to you.
Well, this is our plan. We make it so expensive to live here that they come back to the States. Like, we can't live there. It's too expensive. Yeah, it's crazy, man. Yeah.
Well, as we record this, yesterday was a tremendous, tremendous day. Well, 2 days ago, on Tuesday, looking back to just a wonderful, wonderful transgender visibility day.
Yes.
It was so good. A tremendous day.
And, I mean, just there's such a large crowd of people that were participating.
What a wicked man. He is a wicked
man.
And everybody around him that is helping push this. You know, they've said for years that the transgenderism is not really based in science, but it's like a cult. It's like a religion. And, boy, you see that. Man, oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Could you imagine if he had done that on a
Ramadan,
Muslim
something like that
high holy day? Yeah. Can you imagine?
Right.
Oh, my goodness. There'd be shooting in the streets.
Or he comes out with the eat pork kind of a thing on Ramadan.
Right. Right. I'm telling you, we as Christians, we are, man, oh, it just makes me mad. I know we can't fight against it, but it
well,
just
I am very thankful.
It infuriates me.
We had three services yesterday and on Sunday, and I never mentioned it one time. I was very happy because
wow.
I was so angry. I thought, man, I'm going to get in the flesh awful fast, so I'm just going to ignore this, and we're just going to go celebrate the day that Jesus rose from the dead.
Yeah, talk about Jesus. The other stuff doesn't care.
Amen.
It doesn't matter. I mean, I don't care about that. No, it's good. We had a great weekend as well, a great program at Bible Baptist, and my girls sang and did a tremendous job. And then
awesome.
We had some family time together, and then we left Sunday night. And I'll be home for just a couple of days next week, and then I'm gone till pretty much July. I'll be home, I think, 11 days. Between now and then, so yeah, it'll be a busy time. So it was good to get some family time in. We'll get another day or two next
yes.
week, and then on the road. So headed your way for number 1,000.
1,000 coming up.
1,000, man.
This month.
I remember, you know, just a while back, I said, "Hey, it's almost 1,000." You're like, "Oh man, that's still a long ways off." It went fast.
Yeah, well,
it
that was a year
fast.
Ago.
Well, I don't know if it was quite that, but it was a while ago. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So looking forward to
well,
that.
Well, we thought that we may be able to do it from Israel until we sort of mapped
yeah.
it out. But and, of course, the whole thing, can I say, bombed?
Oh.
Our whole trip bombed.
Oh. Ouch. Speaking of bombing, I don't know if you heard on the news yesterday, but Israel dropped one on the embassy of Iran.
Yes.
Over
in Damascus.
Is it Syria?
Yeah.
Damascus, yeah. That's gonna cause some friction.
It's already there.
Man.
They've already been
oh,
firing
yeah.
like crazy, so I agree with
oh,
them.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Yeah. 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 I just got some folks called me yesterday and said, "Hey, you know, can we sign up for the 2025 trip to Israel?" I'm like, "Yeah, man, sign up. It'd be great." And then I got that news and I'm like, "Oh boy, here we go. We're going to be another few months." So
I'm not trying to predict the future, but
yeah.
I would not be surprised once they got done dealing with that whole side by the sea. I think they're
yeah.
going to take on the West Bank. I think
I would
they
think
have purpose
so.
In their mind that we're not doing this anymore.
No, no, no. They'll go after Hezbollah.
Yeah, that's
yeah, for sure.
I think so.
Yeah, I think they need to. It's going to be a long process, and I see a lot of guys that were taking trips to Israel are now going to Greece. A lot of trips to Greece right now. So
you know, it's got to be beautiful, but I have no desire to go there. It's such a
yeah.
such a pitiful,
pagan.
Just a wicked, vile history, you know,
yeah.
of everything that went on there in Greece.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I'm a little bit enamored with Alexander the Great and things, but when you go
yeah.
there, you don't really see much of that.
Yeah, but when you refer to Al the Great, you're talking about me, right?
No,
you've always been enamored.
You're Alexander the eh.
Meh. Meh.
Yeah, meh.
Oh, man. Speaking of meh, I messed up. I knew I was going to do it. I remember a few weeks ago, I was talking about my buddy in Michigan.
Yes.
And I said he's got his little, yeah, I said Cuppy and it's Scoopy.
Oh.
Scoopy. Yeah. So I messed up. I knew I was going to mess up and I knew I was going to be, you know, chastised. And his mom just lambasted me. Just, oh, it was unbelievable.
Good.
Amanda just
Good.
Tore into me.
That,
not really.
That
not
shows
really,
you're not
but,
Al the Great. You're Al the Meh.
Yeah, Al the Mess. Well, listen, I gave you an assignment yesterday, that something
well,
for
yeah,
the 1,000.
Well, yeah, you gave me an assignment yesterday, and
yeah,
the
so
candidate
I just want to
was
remind
not
you.
Up for it. So,
okay.
you know, the candidate
okay.
has to be, you know, on
okay.
the beam and
yep.
ready to go. And,
okay.
you know, it's a
okay.
it's a big chore to get that
Ooh.
Done
mm-hmm.
in that
yep.
in that
yep.
person's eyes. So, you know,
yes.
for us,
okay.
it's just like, meh.
Yeah,
But I am actively pursuing it.
Yep.
It is no longer dormant.
Excellent.
I am actively pursuing what you want me to do.
Good. Good, because that's going to be a key, I think, a key part of future events.
Yes.
I think it's going to be awesome. Yep. So for those of you that are trying to guess, give up. You'll never guess.
No,
but
you won't.
It's
you
coming.
Won't guess.
It's coming.
Yes.
It's coming.
It is.
Yeah, get ready. All right. Speaking of things upcoming, we have a great email from our friend out in Calgary, Pastor Vasi Kornichuk.
Amen.
And he sent in a great request. He has a question. He says, I want to ask, do you think it's necessary to have certain leadership requirements or standards that your volunteer teachers, deacons, choir members, etc., should be adhering to? If so, what would be some good leadership requirements to have that would maintain a good balance of grace without going too deep into their personal life? Is there room for standards of personal preference, or should we just stick to the absolutes that are commanded? Great question. Great question.
Yep.
Every year when I was pastoring, well, not just every year, but for a good number of years, we had a workers' appreciation night. And we usually did it in February because there wasn't anything going on except blizzards. And, you know, speaking of which, big storm coming through while we're recording this. Big storm.
Yes.
You guys are going to see some tornadoes again.
Could
so
be.
Get ready. They're calling for feet of snow here in parts of New York and around the Great Lakes.
Oh, so. My goodness.
Yeah. Nor'easter. Yes. They're talking about several feet of snow.
Feet
yeah, so
of snow in that. April.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, no April Fool's joke either. This is the
yes.
real deal. So, yeah, yeah. I'm glad I didn't take the snow tires off my wife's car.
Whew.
So we had Workers Appreciation Night, and we had about 90% of our church that did something. They were ushers. They worked in the sound mm-hmm. booth. They worked in the nursery, you know, whatever. If they did any kind of service in our church, they could come to the Workers Appreciation. Our staff would do some kind of meal for them. Usually something light. One year, the best one I think we ever had, we did a 50s theme, and I set up a projector in the church parking lot and got an FM transmitter, and we did a drive-in movie of Andy Griffith. We just did Andy Griffith shows. And then the girls had roller skates, and they rolled hot dogs and
that's great.
Hamburgers out to the car and popcorn. It was awesome.
That's
it was
fun.
So fun. And then at that meeting, I would do the standards for the year, and I would try to give a vision of the year, and I'd try to deal with any problems we had in our programs. And that was a great time. And we did that, like I say, almost every year for 30 years. Great time. It was a great time to do that. I will say that over the years, how I address standards did change. I found that I had maybe more too many personal standards rather than biblical standards, and I had to adjust.
You
that
mean
a little
the standards
bit over the years.
Themselves changed, or how you addressed it changed?
How I addressed
okay.
it, and I would say there were some things that some standards that maybe changed as well. I'm trying to think through my mind. I think there were some things that changed.
Oh,
that
you
we
adapt,
kinda,
you grow.
Right, and I mean society changes, so you have to adapt with that.
Yes.
So, yeah, some things changed there. But that was a great time, and I thought it was a very effective time. I thought our folks responded to it well. There are not many people that like to talk about standards or like to address standards or like to adhere to standards, unfortunately. So it can be a tricky time. It can be a hard time. But our church was very receptive. They did well, I thought.
Well, I've got a lot of questions on the email itself that I thought that we could hit before, you know, sort of jumping right into maybe what they are. You know, first of all, you know, it says, he said something about the absolutes that are commanded. You know, to
right.
me, that's part of your standards. You know, if there are some absolutes mm-hmm. that the Lord commands, like, for example, there are absolutes that are commanded. So there is a standard. There's a set list for a pastor, mm-hmm. qualifications for a pastor in Timothy and Titus. Mm-hmm. You know, it's mm-hmm. when you combine those lists together, that is what is required. And so would it be correct for a church to ask more of their pastor than what is required? I think so. I don't see any problem with that. You know, they may say, Well, we would like to run a credit check to make sure that you haven't defaulted on payments or something. You know, they may want to run an FBI background check. You know, to make right. So, you know, even they may ask some other pastors who know you, you know, some questions. You know, maybe a search committee or something. You know, because they want to be careful. So, yeah, there are some absolutes that are in Scripture, and so you know, that is number one for a pastor requirements. And then there are times that a church asks more, which no problem to me. Then there's absolutes in the Bible about a deacon and a deacon's wife. And so those are absolutes. Does some pastors want more? Yeah, probably. You know, I would imagine that there's maybe some pastors who say, well, you know, you can't be a deacon unless you're actively soul winning, or you're actively in a ministry, or make sure you're tithing, you know, things like that, which, you know, is a command for all of us. But, you know, they may say, you know, that's a situation there. So I don't see a problem scripturally with trying to encourage people or setting something up that that you would want even volunteers in the church to be able to adhere to. And so, you know, in general, in philosophy, I don't see a problem with that, because what you're doing is you are placing that person, that individual, in some kind of a leadership capacity, I would imagine. I'm just guessing, you know, maybe a Sunday school teacher or a bus captain, something like that. They are acting as representatives of the church as they go out or as they teach. Maybe somebody in the choir or singing a special music that's on the platform that, you know, we're going to ask them to make sure that, because you're standing in an elevated platform, make sure your dress is a little bit lower or longer than usual, or if you're playing the piano or organ and there's no modesty shield. And so you know, yeah, there are some things that you're going to probably do. Men, some places like us, if a man's going to be on a platform regularly, you know, we want them to wear a tie. We'd like them to wear a jacket, but a tie at least, if they're going to be in the choir or something like that, you know. So I don't have a problem in general in dealing with this. So just that, the average church, do you think they like them or don't like them, or, you know, does it make sense, or what do you think, just in general?
Yeah, standards. I think a lot of standards have brought a lot of division in churches. I think they have caused a lot of friction in some churches, because you have to be consistent. If you have one, you better have all. And if you don't, that causes some real hardships. I think we have to ask the question, why do we have standards? Why did you want guys to wear a tie on the platform? What was the purpose or significance of that?
Because in our society, we dress up whenever we are around in a formal situation, and so it's a formal situation that we are coming together to meet the Lord, and so that is the least offensive to people that would be either viewing or in the congregation.
Right. And the problem is that many churches have left the formal and have gone to a very informal worship. You know, the leadership's wearing T-shirts and blue jeans and sometimes shorts and a T-shirt in some of the contemporary churches I've seen. So there's that. And I think our society, you talk about societal change. You know, I used to go to the bank. All the guys had a suit on. I go to the lawyer's office. They all had a suit on. Now I go to my lawyer's office and they're wearing shorts and a T-shirt or blue jeans and a T-shirt. And that dress-up time has left a lot of places. And I think our people struggle with that because we ask them to come to church dress up, which I absolutely have no problem with. I like it. I think we should, because we're coming to worship the King of Kings. But there's a struggle there because a lot of guys in our church don't own a suit anymore. They have no occasion to wear it except at church, which I think get one for church and wear it for church. We've seen that in the workplace when people dress up, their performance seems to be better. There seems to be a better atmosphere. So that's part of it. But I would say unity is probably one of the biggest reasons we have standards, is so that we're all doing the same. We're all unified in what we're doing. I think that would be a bigger point for me.
Mm-hmm. So the attitude of people, let's just pick out, all right, the tie. Let's just pick that right out and sort of zero in on that as our example. So is there an issue generally if you'd asked an individual to wear a tie, and we're just going to use that maybe for all of the all of those standards. So you go to somebody and say, well, here's some things that if you want to be in this position, here's some things that we would encourage you to do. And again, you know, you got to ask now, do you have a standard or a rule? You know,
right.
I mean, really, as you come down to this, all right, is this the law or is this the epitome? This is what we would like you to strive for. And so many of the things, you know, I've taken the attitude at our church that many of the things that we would ask our volunteers to do in a position is something we want them to strive for. And so we would want that agreement. We would want that unity, like what you said, that it's not, we don't have the standards police, and we don't have the people that are coming, you know, out to get somebody. There have been times, you know, in 22 years that maybe we've had usually a younger choir member that would say, didn't like the tie, and so because the tie was immodest, you know, we felt we had asked that person, you know, not to sing on the platform that day because the tie wasn't correct. So, you know, but that's generally a younger person that we're trying to teach. And you know, if it was an older person whose tie was not worn properly, we would probably wait for a second occurrence, you know. So but so you really have to ask, you know, is this a law, or is it something you're trying to get people to do for unity and something to strive to?
Right. Yeah. And there has to be grace and understanding. Again, most people in our society are not really forced to a standard today. It used to be when you worked at McDonald's, you wore the goofy-looking brown uniform or the blue uniform or whatever they had. Tim Hortons all had uniforms. And you had to wear that to work. If you didn't wear that, you didn't work there. And most people didn't have a problem with that because you were getting paid. But then they come to church, and we say, we're going to ask you to do the same thing to honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And people get upset. Well, why do I have to wear that? Well, for unity's sake, at McDonald's, you knew who worked at McDonald's because they all wore the same thing, or Tim Hortons, they all wore the same thing. And so you knew that they were part of that team. A hockey team wears the same hockey jersey so that you know who's on the team. And so that was part of it. But then where that sometimes ran into trouble was when you had to deal with modesty as well. And I think that was part of our standards, is that we want to be modest.
Yes.
And the Bible does talk about modesty. And I think we should be modest. We shouldn't draw attention to ourselves. We ought to draw attention to the Lord. And so now you're dealing with ladies most times, and some will get upset by this, but that's okay. I've had it happen before. We wanted our ladies to be modest. We didn't want people's attention drawn to them or their figure.
Yeah, the ties were too skinny. Or the ties were not long
too
enough,
short.
Or the ties were not up close enough around the throat.
Right, right. And ladies, I'm sorry, a lot of standards things did impact ladies. Because men, I mean, there's not, I mean, it's just different. I mean, the male body is not the same, and it's not the same problem or issue. So a lot of ladies got upset by that because we were trying to keep modest. And, you know, fashions change. And there were times when it was very hard for ladies to find a modest dress. You really had to look to find it. And in fact, I got myself in trouble a little bit one time at one of those workers' appreciations. I was trying to emphasize the idea that it's hard to find modest things. And I said, ladies, listen, I understand. I spent almost 2 hours on the computer day just trying to find people with clothes on. They lost it. I meant to say modest clothes on, but that didn't come out. The modest didn't come out. So everybody's like, why do we have to wear a tie? Our pastor's, you know, looking at people on the internet with no clothes on. So, yeah.
Oh, yes.
That was a good one. I said, meeting's over. Let's just pray and go home. We're done. I'll never get you back after that. So, but that was the thing. And people didn't understand as a pastor, I'm trying to protect them. I'm trying to protect the well-being of our church. I didn't want men's attention to be drawn, and women always say, well, men shouldn't do that. Well, you're right, but they do, and it is a draw. And so we're trying to protect you. We don't want people thinking ill of you, and we don't want you to be embarrassed by maybe something happening. So that was part of it. And people don't always get that part of standards and, you know, why people do things. I think as pastors, we would do well to explain why.
Yes.
We don't always do that.
Yes.
We just say, this is the standard, you do it or you don't participate. No, no, no. Tell them why.
And many times we will use standards to determine right and wrong. And that winds up getting into some murky area, because now we've said,
right,
basically, if you're not wearing that tie, you're a sinner. But if you're wearing that tie, now you're right with God. And so in our explanation, we have not really explained it properly. You know, the reason for those things is because these are just a few things that we would say that our church would be in agreement. You know, the basic a body of people would be in agreement that, yeah, if somebody taught my kid, you know, here's what I would like them to be. You know, if somebody's out as a representative of the church in an actual position, although it's a volunteer, yeah, I think these kind of things ought to be important, and they ought to be this kind of an individual because they're representing us, especially as you're driving that, you know, big billboard down the road. Yeah. And so, you know, I've found a lot more success in that area when dealing with adults, especially you know, a tie or not to tie, you know, whatever that standard may be, to explain it that way is that we want to reveal not only to others but also to the rest of the congregation that we are trustworthy, that we are trying to do and be the best for the Lord, and these are just more safeguards than anything else. So that concept of right and wrong, when you start writing it down on a piece of paper as though it's sin or not sin, I think that gets to be the real, you know, tendency of, you know, ouch.
Right. I'm going to leave it there. We've gone a little over our time today, and I want to pick some things up on Wednesday and talk about this, that in past, standards became, and you've alluded to this, it became the standard of not only right or wrong, but righteousness. How righteous were you? How holy were you? And a lot of that was by if you kept the standards or not. And so we'll take a look at that on Wednesday. So from Buffalo, New York, where we are potentially going to get hammered with feet of snow. I got to get out of winter. I'm Al Stone in the great city of Buffalo.
This is Dan Wolven in Columbus, Ohio. We are expecting high winds, large hail, and a lot of rain and potential tornadoes again. So tonight, much better. I think I'd rather have that than feet of snow.
Yeah.
I mean, you know you're in Buffalo when they go, oh, yeah, how many feet we getting this time? Instead of, well, we got half an inch of snow, and there is three quarters more on the way.
Well, listen, I want you to be safe and make sure you get under the sink within these if the tornado hits. There should be plenty of headroom for both of you.
Yes.
And get under there and make sure you're safe. Don't be out in the living room, whatever you do. This is Tim Talks. We'll be back on Wednesday to discuss this great topic. Thank you, Pastor Vassy,
yes,
for sending that in to us and all who do.
Common yes, topic among yes, most independent Baptist churches.
Yes, it is. This is Tim Talks. We'll be back on Wednesday. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM talks.com.